while going through this world of woe, this hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting
Brother Curtis, good to be back with you again today. Really enjoyed the study you just did from Psalm 23 on the shadows of your life. I'd never considered that before. And if anyone's listening today didn't get to hear the last two broadcasts, go to the website, wcgwam.com, and click on podcast, scroll down to Love and Life, and see if you can pick those up there. And if not, just call in here and say, "Hey, Brad, I need to find these things." He'll help you out. He's just standing there smiling, waving at me. But today I want to take a look at something, Brother Curtis. We'll find this in the book of Acts, chapter 11. And I want to ask you a question. I didn't give you a heads up on this, but I'm going to ask you a question. You ever heard of a man in the Bible named Barnabas?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you know about Barnabas?
Barnabas, wasn't he one that He was like a leader. He brought people to Christ, and that wasn't that his thing?
Well, I'm just kind of proving a point. Most people, if you ask them about Barnabas, they say he was a friend of Paul's, I think. Wasn't he one of the early Christians? Yeah, yeah. But what do we know about Barnabas? So I want to take a look at him. I'd like to study some of the characters in the Bible sometimes, and especially some that we know very little about. I'd like to learn more about them. But in the book of Acts chapter 11, now what was happening, we'll lead up this minute. We're going to start with verse 22. But what had happened, there was persecution in Jerusalem, and people started leaving Jerusalem, going to different places. And so most of them went wherever they went. They were still preaching the message only to the Jews, even though Philip had already been down into Samaria and preached and so on. But when they went to Antioch, there were some non-Jews, they called them Greeks, that had accepted the gospel and were beginning to be saved. And so let's pick it up here at verse 22. It says, news of this, all this revival was taking place, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, I love that, you know, man, you want to know about the grace of God, his revival taking place, that's the evidence of the grace of God. When he saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Man, I could preach on that a while too.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. He needs reinforcements here. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And I remember you talking not long ago, maybe it was last month, I can't remember, that wherever Jesus gathered, there were great numbers of people.
That's right, always a multiple.
And I really believe that when Jesus is lifted up, there will be great numbers of people.
Absolutely.
I knew a pastor a few years ago, he's gone on to be with the Lord, that he went to a church in a really small little place in Virginia, doesn't even have a traffic light, but he had one of the biggest churches in the county. But he said the first Sunday he was there were only eight people. And he just started preaching Jesus, and the church started growing. And somebody criticized him because he preached Jesus too much. He said, that's all I've got. I don't have anything else to preach. And you know, in a church, that's, my brother told me, he said, we got 500 people in town, and 300 of them go to this church. So, you know, it was a really small place. But anyway, he said that, let me back up, verse 25. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples, underline this, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Now you learn just a little bit about Barnabas from this scripture. But I also want to talk just a little bit about the church here before we get into the subject here. My subject really is Barnabas. But it says they were called Christians first at Antioch. And then again, it mentions them being called disciples. You know, the Christian church was called the disciples at one time. They were called Christians here, and that name seems to have stuck. At one time, they were called the sect of the Nazarenes because Jesus was a Nazarene. One time they were called the Way, and so been called many things, but Christian is the one that stuck. Now, here's a verse I want us to back up and look at, verse 24, and it refers to Barnabas. Look what it says. He was a good man. He was a good man. It also goes on to say he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. But why, think about it for a moment, Curtis. He was a good man. Does that sound a little bit boring? Oh, Barnabas, he's a good man. Oh, he's a good man. That sounds like something you'd say at a funeral. I mean, yeah. Seriously. Oh, yeah, Brother Curtis. Let's say Brother Joe. I'm not going to have Curtis's funeral today. Although, no, he's not feeling real well, but he's not feeling that bad, Curtis. Be like Paul, just rejoice, the Lord is coming. But, you know, we'll go to a funeral, and have you ever noticed that everybody that dies is really a good man? he was a good man, yeah. That Barnabas, he was a good man, yeah. He was good. I can't say anything bad about him, you know. The old adage, don't say anything bad about the dead. Well, they could have said something like, he was a genius. Now, that's a pretty good compliment. Man, that Barnabas, he was one of the smartest men I ever met. Or we could say, man, that Barnabas, he was a cool dude. You know, I mean, he was just fun to be around. He was a lot of fun. I remember one time, you know, we went out and did such and such. Man, we had so much fun. And I don't care what happened, seemed like Barnabas can have fun. I mean, he's just a fun guy to be with. You really, really enjoyed being with him. You know, it seemed like when everybody else is down, he'll find something to laugh about. He's just a good guy. We might say he was a good worker. Now that sounds nice. You know, this brings thoughts of a person who does his job well, never misses a day, always on time, does not complain, and so on, and just does a good job. I used to have a guy working for me. His name was Charlie, and I really liked Charlie. One of the reasons I liked Charlie is when he told me a job was done, I didn't have to look at it. All I had to do was call the customer, because when Charlie said it was done, it was done. I had another guy, I won't mention his name, but when he said a job was done, I had to go look it over and look at everything it was supposed to be done and make sure it was done and see how many things he didn't do, because I'd always find something. His idea was to get it out and get on to the next job, because he worked on commission. He didn't make much money going back and redoing the ones that he didn't do right to start with. Charlie, on the other hand, did it right to start with. And I don't know if he ever had something he had to redo, because he did it right to start with. So we could say this about Barnabas. Barnabas was a really good worker. We might say he was a good ball player. He was a good painter. He was a good golfer. All these are compliments. They arouse our imaginations. But to say he is a good man, well, it just seems boring. It's kind of like saying, you know, you're a nice guy, but you're a nice guy, but, well, you know, I think of you more as a friend, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You're okay. You're the guy we call on when we need something, but, you know, if we're going out to have fun, we don't call on you because you're boring. You're a good man. You're okay. Oh, I don't know. I just thought I'd have a little fun with this, but why is it that being good seems to be a weakness rather than an asset? Sometimes people actually mistake your kindness for weakness. I used to work with a guy that, one of the nicest, I'd say sweet about a man, but that's kind of the way you would describe him. And I found out this man had been in prison for killing someone. I wouldn't have known if he hadn't told me himself, because he was one of these nice, easygoing kind of people. But he told me, he said, well, you know, sometimes people take kindness for weakness, and I just have to show them, you know. And I'm thinking, whoa, maybe I misread you just a little bit, you know. I never did see anything out of him, make me think he was anything other than a nice guy. But sometimes people take it like it's not really an asset. It's a negative thing. In the book of Mark, we're told of a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and addressed him as good master. You remember what Jesus said to him?
Why callest thou me good?
Yeah, he said, there's none good but the Father.
None good but
God. So, you know, when the Bible says that Barnabas was a good man, maybe we probably just ought to take a better look at Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4, let's back up and get some history on who Barnabas was. Remember, in Acts chapter 4, now remember the day of Pentecost is recorded in Acts chapter 2, so we're not too far from the day of Pentecost. But in chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, we learn some things from this. First of all, his name was Joseph, and he was a Jew from the tribe of Levi. But the apostles had to give him a name of Barnabas. You know, sometimes they change people's names. Some people have nicknames. In this case, they call him Barnabas because he was such an encourager. And that's what it means, a son of encouragement. So I've already learned a lot about Barnabas, the kind of a person he was. In being a Levite, you remember that the Levites has the same tribe that the priest came from. But in order to be a priest, you also had to be a direct descendant of Aaron, Moses' brother. Levites worked in the temple. So we can assume then that Barnabas was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. He was probably one of the 3,000 that accepted Christ that day when he heard Peter preach. After his conversion, the apostles named him Barnabas, which means son of consolation or son of encouragement. I find that very interesting since Jesus called James and John son of thunder.
Yeah.
But they called Barnabas son of consolation, and I really find that is an interesting thing. Now, when Barnabas gave his life to Christ, he gave everything. He didn't hold anything back. He recognized that God owns it all. So when the church had a need and Barnabas had the means to supply that need, he sold his property and brought the money and gave it to the apostles. He said it belongs to the Lord. And, I remember when I was pastoring a church, we needed to put a roof on the parsonage, and it was going to cost about $5,000 at that time. And so we were having a board meeting to see how we were going to get the money. And there was one man in this board meeting, very quiet, soft-spoken kind of guy, and he says, well, he said, a few months ago, he said, I wrote a check for $500. But when I deducted it in my bank book, I deducted $5,000. And he said, I didn't catch the mistake until the other day. And he said, there's an extra $5,000 in my checking account. I'll just give it to the church. I thought, now there's Barnabas. That's the kind of a man that Barnabas was. He was a good steward of what God had. He realized that everything he had belongs to God. Pastor Jim Custer, I don't know if he's still there or not, but he used to pastor the Grace Brethren Church in Worthington, Ohio. It's just one of the suburbs of Columbus there. And he told a story about when they were planning to build the building where it is now. And I've been in this church, a beautiful facility. And this was probably, I'm saying in the 70s when this was built. I can't remember exactly, 70s or early 80s. He said they had a meeting to talk about building this building. And they had plans to build a $5 million building. Now, that's a ton of money today, and back then it was really a lot of money. And so being a congregational church, everybody got a vote on it. So they had a meeting, and they talked about it. And they decided that they could not afford to build a $5 million building. They just didn't have the funds. But then someone pointed out that they drove to this meeting in $7 million worth of automobiles. So it depends on what your priorities are. If you're a good steward for Christ, and I believe that Barnabas was, you put your priorities in order. Well, needless to say, they did get their building built, and instead of building a $5 million building, they built a $7 million building. The Grove City, another suburb of Columbus, Grove City Church of the Nazarene, had plans to build a $7 million building, not because Grace Brethren did, but just because they were growing and they needed it. And I remember Bob Huffaker was pastor there, and he was talking about the vote. He said they had a whole congregation to vote on it. 1,800 people voted whether or not they could spend $7 million on a building, and they had 7 people voted no out of 1,800. I say that's good stewardship. Someone said that's just enough to take off the curse. You got to have a few negative votes. Well, that's good stewardship. So Barnabas was a good steward. But the Bible also says he was a man of faith. Verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Brother Curtis, anybody ever tell you you're full of it? Well, Barnabas was full of it, but he was full of faith. Take it as a compliment if anybody ever says that. It doesn't just mean he had faith. It means he was filled up to here with faith. He was full of faith. He believed in God. God said it. That settles it. Faith was behind everything he did and everything he became. His faith was a working faith. He not only believed in God, he believed in men and in God's power to change the worst of men. In Acts chapter 9, and verse 26 and 27, it says, when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. One of the greatest enemies of the church ever had returned one day from a tour of persecution in Damascus. He declared that he had been converted on the way, but nobody in Jerusalem believed him. They were afraid of him. But there was one glorious exception. That was Barnabas. Barnabas was full of faith. He not only believed in God, he believed in people and in God's ability to change people. He believed in Paul. He staked his life, his reputation, and his church upon Paul's sincerity. But for that, Paul might have been lost to the church. Wouldn't that have been a great loss mm-hmm. to the church had not been for Barnabas? Well, Acts 13 and verse 13 says, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Now, think about this. John, who we'll find later, his name was changed to Mark. John left them and went back to Jerusalem. He got homesick. Well, in Acts chapter 15, that's Acts 13, Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 40, says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. You know, I want to do that a lot of times. I've filled in as interim pastor now for 8 churches. And when I'm between churches, I like to go back and visit some of the other churches and see how they're doing. And churches where I've preached revivals, I like to go back occasionally and see how they're doing, see what's going on. So this is the way Paul was. Man, we've been preaching all over the country. Let's go back and visit some of these churches. Well, in verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, who is also called Mark. This is the same John who had got homesick up here in chapter 13 and left him. He wanted to take Mark with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia. He used a stronger word than I did. I say he got homesick. Paul said he deserted them. And he had not continued with them in the work. And look at verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. You see, Barnabas cared about people. But I also want you to notice something else that took place here. Paul and Barnabas were going to go and visit all the churches. They kind of split up. Guess what? He took Mark. Paul took Silas. So now you've got 2 teams going out and working. I'm not saying that God causes problems, but sometimes problems happen, and when they do, God will use them for His glory if we will allow Him to. We also find later that Paul talked about Mark, and he acknowledged that Mark had become a valuable companion, and later, you know, it wasn't that he was holding any kind of grudges or anything like that. It was just, man, I just don't know if I can work with him, I don't know if I can trust him. Well, apparently Mark had matured, and Paul had changed his mind because later on he wanted Mark because Mark was important. We also know that Barnabas was a missionary. I mean, he was totally missionary. Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23 says, news of this reached the ears, and this is where we just read up here. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now, remember, as we read that, we talked about the revival that was breaking out in Antioch. People were preaching to the Greeks, and the Greeks were accepting it, and they recognized the grace of God. Verse 23, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. News had gotten back to Jerusalem that revival had broken out among the Gentiles. There were many who thought the gospel message was just for Jews. They weren't too excited, but Barnabas was glad. I just love Barnabas. The more I get to know about Barnabas, the more I like this guy. I mean, he wants to go. Man, if somebody's preaching the gospel, people are being saved, I want to be a part of it. I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they're from Mars, man. They need to hear about Jesus. I want to tell them about Jesus. That's the kind of guy he was. He went as far as Antioch encouraging the people because that was his calling. He didn't go and start preaching a bunch of legalism to them. We had those problems in Galatians. Paul talks about the people he called Judaizers, following around wherever that there's salvation taking place and cutting people down, saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. But verse 26 says, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I want you to notice this, and I want you to underline this. It wasn't the Jews sitting back at headquarters that were called Christians. It was the non-Jews. They were called Christians because they were Christ-like. Sometimes we can sit, as John Hagee says, on our blessed assurance and miss the whole thing that is going on. We can miss what God is doing. Now I want to give you one final point. We've got about a minute left. Barnabas was a very spiritual man. The verse 11:24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I believe that all these were evident in the life of Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man.
We want to thank those of you who support us financially and prayerfully. We have a special offer for you. For those who would give a donation of $20 to the ministry, we have a CD of the Love and Life Trio, and you've heard the song No Fire in the Pulpit on there, and there's other songs on there that you'll be hearing. But for everyone who give a $20 donation, we have that CD for you that we'll get out to you. And then also, if you don't want the CD, I've also written a book about long life, longevity. How long are we supposed to live? Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, you never know when your time's up. When your time's up, your time's up. Can I tell you that that's not biblical, and the Bible does have something to say about it? You ask people, how long is man supposed to live? And they'll say, well, 60 to 70 years. Can I tell you that's not what the Bible says? It is in there, but that's not a reference to what God says about how long we're supposed to live. And so I sat down and did a one-year study on longevity according to what the Bible says. And so I wrote a little 50-page book on it. And if you'll give a $20 donation, you can get the book. You can have the CD or the book. But if you want both, for a $30 donation, we give you both of those and get them out in the mail to you. Thank you once again for your financial and prayerful support. Thanks for listening to this segment of Love and Life, sponsored by Loving Life Ministries. We are available for concerts, revivals, special services, or maybe your pastor just needs a day off. Just give us a call at 859-396-9430. Or if this program has been a blessing to you, drop us a card or a letter to Love and Life, Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky. That's Love and Life at Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky, 40356. We do appreciate your prayers and financial support for this ministry.
I'm forecaster Jimmy O'Neill, and your Central Kentucky forecast is brought to you in part by eBusinessReportLexington.com. Free resources to help grow your business. For the Sunday daytime hours, expect mostly sunny skies, high near 53 degrees. As we move through the Sunday evening and overnight hours, rain showers are likely in your overnight. Expect mostly cloudy skies, low around 38. There's your forecast from the Weatherbug Center at 770 AM and 93.3 FM, The Eagle.
The angels from Visiting Angels are standing by to care for the loved ones in your life who need in-home care. If you have a family member or friend who needs assistance at home with hygiene, meals, light housework, errands, or companionship, I hope you'll consider Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. If you know someone who wants to remain independent, these are the people who can help. Rates are surprisingly affordable, and up to 24-hour in-home care is available. You can even select your caregiver before care begins. Franchise opportunities are also available. With more than 500 franchise locations nationwide, there's an office near you. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com. For senior home care from the real-life angels of Visiting Angels, call toll-free 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com.
While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave a sacrificial act of his own life to prove his love. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." Jesus died in your place so that you could receive salvation as a free gift.
Tune in to the live simulcast from Sand Spring Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 11, right here on 93.3 FM and 770 AM, The Eagle.
WCGW, Nicholasville, The Eagle 93.3 FM and 770 AM, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
The following program is sponsored by Focus on the Family.
Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
I think my core need as an introvert is to get some alone time with a book and